This is All India Radio. In the program Spotlight Now, we bring you a discussion on United Nations Biodiversity Summit. The participants are C.K. Varshney, environmentalist, and Sanjay Jha, journalist.
Humanity is waging a war against nature. The world's biodiversity is at the brink, with animal populations plunging drastically and plant species at risk of extinction. Global leaders who have gathered virtually in New York on the occasion of the UN Biodiversity Summit have pledged to protect nature. The attendees were UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, Prince Charles, Professor Varshney. We are in a different era now after the pandemic coronavirus. The whole world is thinking about nature, going back to your roots. You think the world will start thinking about biodiversity in a new light after all these incidents?
Well, you know that mankind have been very, very drastically affecting and assaulting biodiversity for all these years in name of development, in name of economic progress. But we have forgotten completely that plants and animals are the base on which the growth of human being and the well-being of the human being depends. And you know that once we really decimate biodiversity, then we are facing all kinds of danger. And we have learned this lesson very hard. A large number of viral diseases which have come to us, including COVID-19, is the cause of closer interaction of the human being with the wild. And we have seen that how severely we got affected. World over, the economic growth of past many decades have been washed off. And we are still not quite clear that what our future is likely to be. So today we are really in an entirely new world with all new challenges for which we were never prepared. Now this is a situation where we, if not take this into account, then how are we going to survive and look forward for the future generations to really prosper? Let me also tell you that each biodiversity species is nothing but a chest of opportunity. For example, I can give you that loss of a biodiversity species means that we have lost many possibilities and future prospects for mankind and for its well-being. We have yet not identified and catalogued all the plant species, but they are being decimated at a much faster rate than what we are able to identify. The Living Planet Index has very vividly and clearly shown that between 1970 and 2016, 68% of the mammals, fishes, amphibians, birds and insects have been lost. This is a very serious loss, because this provides the base for our economic growth, for our industrial development, and for our cultural growth, and for our cultural activities and social activities. Minus this, we find that where biodiversity is thin and not there, either they are deserts or they are the areas where people simply cannot colonize and live. And today, because of the climate change, coupled with biodiversity loss, we are facing a challenge which has no precedence in the past, and we are still not able to fathom the dimension and the depth of the danger that lies ahead of the mankind.
Dr. Varshney, you mentioned about the development and how it has hampered our biodiversity. Coming closer in our own country, you know, land degradation and deforestation is a big challenge. Today, Union Environment Minister Shri Prakash Javedkar, who also spoke in this virtual meeting, he said India will restore 26 million hectares of deforested land by 2030. Is this target showing our intent from India that how serious we are about the biodiversity of this world?
It is a very good target. But the only thing is that how we are going to achieve, the nitty-gritty and the steps we have to take are still to be worked out in a manner so that we can achieve this in a time-bound manner. And this is something that we cannot neglect and postpone any further, because if our land waste starts decreasing and if our population keeps on increasing, if our aspiration for economic growth are also growing, then we have but to conserve this land and more particularly its fertility. And the only way that we can add fertility to the soil and hold the soil from loss is through biodiversity. the greenery that we call as a vegetation is the magic word by which we can really create as well as protect the soil and its fertility in a period of time which is reasonable. Otherwise, there is no other way that we can hold losing soil because of the desertification and because of the accelerated loss from deforestation. So I think these two things are the very big villain for soil loss, and we have to reverse it. Because if the agricultural land is reduced, then I think it is going to really affect the livelihood of our people. It will affect the market. It will affect the economic activity, and it will affect the national exchequer. So it is absolutely essential that we have to really do it. The targets, and I think they are quite reasonable, but the only thing is that we have to work very hard to work out the details, the methods, the areas we have to identify. We have to identify people. We have to train people. So I think there is a lot of work that lies ahead which need to be taken care so that we can hold our fertility of the soil, which is the base of our agricultural economy, and the welfare of our rural population.
United Nations has said that 2020 was meant to be a super year for nature and biodiversity. But with large part of the planet in lockdown, COVID-19 has highlighted the risk of humanity's unstable relationship with nature, with repeated warnings linking the pandemic with the destruction of ecosystem and species. How do you define this kind of problem?
I think this problem is very, very vividly presenting itself before us, because we have seen the previous diseases, such viral diseases are never known before. They are all the outcome of this increasing interaction, starting with HIV, because it is the animal virus which really jumped with the human being. Similarly, here also it is an animal virus which has jumped and which is creating and running like a wildfire and taking heavy toll of the human beings all over in every country. So this is something on which we have to be very, very careful, and we have to learn this lesson. You see, two things have learned because of the COVID-19 situation. Number one, that we have to respect biodiversity. We don't have to really kill our animals. We have to really have a discipline by which we grow our food, in which it is not the kind of a food and agriculture which is industrial in nature, but an agriculture development which is a conservation agriculture, where we conserve the soil, we conserve the biodiversity, and really take our crops which are healthy, which do not require pesticides, which do not require chemical support. So I think that kind of agriculture has to take over from the industrial agriculture which have been carried out thus far. The second thing you must have experienced, that because of the withdrawal of the human activity, the wildlife started coming and showing up in areas where we have not seen for past many decades. Rivers are clean, fishes has come back, and the animals are roaming freely, and we see those animals and those plants which we have never seen before in areas closer to the human habitation. So the nature has a great power to really revert back. It has a lot of resilience, and it is this resilience which we have to maintain. So I think it is timely that we should really alert ourselves. We should design a new Green Deal so that we are able to provide the kind of environment, food security, water security, because the water is held by trees and the roots in a significant way. And thus many of these so-called natural disasters, their intensity and their magnitude becomes much less. They are all linked, and this requires a new model which we call as green economy. And I think this is where we have to take care of biodiversity as a principal element of planning. It is not something which is an appendix to our planning, that we can really do something and then as a second think of biodiversity. Biodiversity has to be streamlined or mainstreaming in our all planning, in all ministries, in economic decisions that we take and in administrative decisions we take, as well as in our education. I think biodiversity has to find much greater space, irrespective of the subject. Every citizen must understand the value and its personal connection with biodiversity. Oxygen that we breathe is a product of biodiversity. So if the biodiversity is decimated, you are really threatening your own survival, and you are really making your own breath something making it more difficult. So to sum up, biodiversity is something on which we depend. Our forefathers have used this biodiversity to make a progress, and we are totally dependent on it, and the future generation, in spite of all technological development and scientific discoveries, there is no other way but we have to depend on biodiversity.
Dr. Varsania, UN's fifth Global Biodiversity Outlook, which was released 2 weeks back on September 15, has stated that none of the 20 biodiversity targets from 2010 that had been agreed by world leaders in Aichi, Japan, had been fully met. And report also warned that the failure to achieve these targets would seriously hamper efforts to meet the UN's Sustainable Development Goal, SDGs, as what we call it, as well as the climate change commitments of the 2015 Paris Agreement. With the world facing this coronavirus pandemic and failing to meet the 2020 biodiversity target, which was agreed in 2010, you think this summit could be an opportunity for the world leaders to revise their goals and commitment to protect the biodiversity?
This is true that we have not been able to achieve any of the goals that we agreed 10 years ago to achieve by 2020. None of the world governments have been able to achieve that. And this is something which we have to really worry about. And since we know now that how biodiversity is critically important, 2030, the kind of target that we have to make have to be more rigorous. And we have to really be more aggressive to achieve them. Otherwise, it will be difficult to visualize that the kind of growth that we hope, the kind of comfort and the livelihood that we wish to provide to our people will become increasingly difficult. In fact, we will be suffering for all kinds of vagaries and all kinds of natural hazards and all kinds of health issues, nutritional issues, and it will be difficult to see a world with peace and progress and with optimism.
Next year, China will for the first time host major international talks on the environment, postponed from this year at COP15 in Kunming, where the international community will focus and agree for a Paris-style agreement for nature. But, China is getting all kinds of flack, whether it's a virus or it's an environment, and its modern record on environment is really poor. There's rapid economic development and huge infrastructure projects like Belt and Road Initiative have come at a huge cost to nature. You think China will step up?
This is something that we have to worry about, because it is time that the world governments really must educate themselves about the value of the biodiversity. You see, climate change is one factor, but the climate change will get greatly modulated, accentuated, if we do not have a capacity to deal with it. And biodiversity provides that opportunity. If we have got healthy ecosystems, and if we have got ecosystems which are really competent and which are not disturbed, then I think we are in a much better position to adapt ourselves and to really bear the implications and the impact of the climate change. And therefore, it really not only going to meet the SDG targets, the Sustainable Development Goal targets. After all, these targets that we have agreed are for the welfare of the mankind. And this we must keep in mind. We are not working for the targets, but actually through targets we are working for the benefit and for the happiness of the mankind, to provide them an opportunity so that they are able to achieve their full potential. And this is only possible when we have got the various resources which the nature has provided and for which we must consider ourselves as a trustee, rather than we should really embark upon a robber's economy and harvest them because of our self-interest. And I think this must go. And as long as this is not there, I think our future is very bleak. And there is no way that we can really do anything through the industrialization, because no industry is a substitute to biodiversity. You cannot get anything which is we are there. For example, natural fibers. We get lots of medicines. We are all drawn from biodiversity. So, biodiversity is really the fabric on which our economic growth depends. And if this fabric is weak, the economic growth is also not going to be very, very strong for very long.
Dr. Barsney, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on United Nations Biodiversity Summit. The participants were C.K. Varsney, environmentalist, and Sanjay Jha, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our website, newsonair.com. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.